This season of Business Inspires is brought to you by the Village of Marble Cliff. Small village, big thinking. Burgess & Nyepel, a nationally recognized engineering and architecture firm. The flourishing city of Grandview Heights. Optimize Chiropractic, where every visit you leave moving, feeling, and healing better. And City of Upper Arlington, where superior services and citizens come first. Find out more about this season's sponsors in the show notes in each Business Inspires episode.
This is Business Inspires, a monthly podcast of the Tri-Village Chamber Partnership. To run a successful business, you need resources, valuable connections, and community recognition. Business Inspires will provide you with the tools, resources, and examples to inspire you to create the business you're envisioning. Here's Michelle Wilson.
Good morning, Tri-Village Chamber Partnership. This is David Polakowski, the President and CEO of the Chamber. This morning, I have Jamie Bartlett with PolyPay, who is a new member.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And relocating back to Ohio from California.
From California.
I almost said Columbus, but
Yes. You
grew up in Akron.
I had family. So I, unfortunately, as I said, I was born in Michigan, and I'm very sorry about that.
So you bleed red,
absolutely. Okay. I'm the daughter of two parents from Akron, Ohio. I'm the granddaughter of a supervisor from Goodrich Tire Company. So I am 100% through and through a Buckeye. But as they've said, I needed a passport to come through state lines because, unfortunately, I was like, I didn't choose where I was born, but I can choose where I am now.
But doesn't that give you immigration status here in Ohio because your parents were born here?
I think so. I get grandfathered in maybe a little
bit. Maybe. It's like
I'm a dreamer. Is it like am I the Ohio Dreamer Act or something like that?
Dreaming to have that residence full time back in Ohio.
Yes. So I'm very excited to be back.
And I know we've had conversations about how you got to California and everything. So tell everybody a little bit about your transition to California and how you got to with PolyPay.
Sure, absolutely. So, as I said, born in Michigan, lived in Michigan for a while, and then part of my high school years in St. Louis. So another part of the Midwest that I enjoyed, and came back to family. I had family in Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Columbus, Akron, so kind of all over the state. So I was always back there. I went back to school. I went to college in Boston at Wellesley. Had never been to California before. Had always been an East Coast, Midwest person. Got a job out there in marketing and didn't even know where Irvine, California was. I thought, well, let's go for it. So I started out in marketing there, and then, the tech bubble and whatnot occurred. So I'm dating myself. I went back to school. I went back and got a graduate degree and went back to work. I got hired in consulting for Accenture, which is a massive global. It's like working for another country, sort of. It's a very big, very big company. So I worked up in San Francisco for many years. It was a great job for someone who was still sort of trying to figure out who they were. So I got to work in tech, in legal, union work, HR, leadership development. Never thought I would start my own company. I'm a daughter of a banker. So my father worked for National Bank of Detroit for many years, and he worked in the trust operations. So always kind of grew up watching him talk about financials, taking care of customers, taking care of people's monies and their future. And he worked also in merchant processing, which PolyPay is a part of. And I thought, if I were to start a company, where would I put it? And at that time, my parents had purchased a second home in San Luis Obispo, California. So
I still can't pronounce that.
San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo.
So, or people like to affectionately call it SLO. They just call it SLO. I'm going to SLO. I know. And it's a good and bad phrase for that. It depends on if you're a local there, they don't like it too much, but it's easier than San Luis Obispo. So it was funny. They went from St. Louis, Missouri to San Luis Obispo. And so they purchased a second home. I'd lived and worked in San Francisco and LA. And I thought, well, if I'm going to start something, what a kind of perfect middle of the state, perfect sized city, because it's one of those cities where if you do something wrong, everybody knows, and if you do something great, everybody knows. So it kept me on my toes.
And I have a question then, because I'm going to talk to you about our Be Your Best Self and different things too, but what made you go from corporate to starting your own business? What was the driving force?
I think I learned a lot growing with big corporations. I worked for Accenture, which at the time had 120,000 people working across the world for it. I had worked for Pacific Gas and Electric, as often happens in the consulting industry. I jumped ship for a customer that I was working with. So I had been assigned to PG&E for a few years, and they asked me to come and work directly for them. And that, again, was another large company, 35 to 45,000 people. That worked for it. And I learned a lot, but it was, I think what I learned is it's so difficult to tilt and create change. There were so many levels to go through to titrate and just change tack, even on the smallest things. It took multiple meetings. You had to wait for people. And then you just have the people that had been there a long time. They were afraid of change. They didn't understand these younger people. Both of those companies were more geared towards an average, you know, employee was in their 40s or 50s. So we were trying to bring some new thought to it. And there was just a lot of pushback. And eventually you could get yourself heard, but it took such a long time. And I thought, all right, one thing, what industry am I interested in? What problem do I want to solve? And I thought, well, merchant processing is an industry that is rife with bad actors and taking advantage of, business owners that don't have time to figure out something like that. Look, they have to get something that's going to get them their money every day, swipe a card, and that's it. I thought, well, let me do that. And then I just loved the idea of having my own little island where you could just wake up one day and go, no, you know, we're going to do this. And you just got to push the button or sign the document, and that's where you're going. And that's what I love most about that, David.
And PolyPay has been in existence for how long now?
I was formed in 2014, so okay. We're just about 7 years old. It was early January of 2014. So, yeah, I can't believe that. It's already been 7 years.
I know.
Yes.
And why you chose Upper Arlington to relocate to?
Yes, yes.
Why?
I picked Columbus specifically also just because, coming home to the homeland, as they call it.
It is funny because yes. She always, when we email yes. back and forth and she's in California, she's like, I'm coming to the homeland. Oh, yes. And I just chuckle to myself
yes.
knowing.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just countdown. It's like I said this morning, it's like Christmas. I'm like, all right, six more get ups until I have to get to the homeland. So, cause that's what I grew up. My parents were always calling that, let's get back to the homeland, and that's where, as my mom would say, people were smarter, nicer, and better looking were from Ohio. So, so I picked Columbus cause it was just a good in between space for both family. And then in Ohio, it was so easy to get to other cities. I loved Columbus because I'd read a lot about it and it sounded like such a fun city. It was growing. There was a lot of different industries. There were a lot of interesting entrepreneurial people coming there. I read that it's a test market for a lot of different types of businesses that I knew I could support and provide services to. So I think that's why I picked it. And then kind of just driving through Columbus, I got a little bit of a San Luis Obispo vibe, but not quite from here, that I liked the size of this area. And there was, again, so much going on, farmers markets and pop-up shops and all of that. And I thought there's so much runway ahead here. I'd love to be a part of it.
And we're glad you're here.
No, thank you.
Because this connection is very strong, and it's interesting when you meet certain people where you just feel that connection.
Right. Yes.
So
yes.
So I'm gonna step away from PolyPay and talk more about you. So we had talked about one of our our initiatives is be your best self. So
yes.
Who is your best self?
Hmm.
I love that. I love when somebody's very social and I throw a question at mm-hmm. them and they go,
I don't know, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you get different versions of your best self as you go through life. When I look at, 21-year-old Jamie, where you think, I'm doing the best I can. I think it's all dependent upon goals for yourself, all the tools that you've picked up along the way. I think if I could say the best self for me is it's somebody who is with PolyPay, for instance, I know bringing that back up.
No, that's fine. It's you. That's who you are.
It is. I became so entwined with PolyPay as I started to create it, because being an advocate for people, calling on for people to advocate for themselves as business owners, and making sure that they're well taken care of. And that's why we're a little bit different, is I think I've incorporated that best self into the fabric of PolyPay, and to the people that also work with us, is we're constantly on the lookout for. You know, we're a smaller ISO. You know, I'm one of the few women-owned ISOs, they call, out in the country in this industry. But I think it's someone who is getting up every day and problem-solving and looking out for the customer and looking ahead for them and making sure they're being not overserved, underserved, and just preparing them for success, whatever their success looks like. So I think I love it. Every day, I think I might be a different version of my best self, depending on what problems I'm solving for somebody.
And, you know, before we started, we sat down and you know, talking to Brett about what he does and who he is, and you asked him the question, and I'm going to ask you the question. Mm-hmm. In fourth grade, what did you see yourself doing?
I saw myself as a banker. I used to draw myself like on this, in this big brown table, like with I still probably draw about the same, sad, like in a little pinstripe suit with like a ponytail. And I was sitting there like on the phone, and like I had papers in front of it, because that's what I imagined. That's what I was seeing with my dad. I thought there's something where, and it was just sort of like me there. And there was like a window and the sun and all of that. And I thought, I want to be a banker. I want to interact with people. And so it was always kind of that, but I didn't know what that entailed at the time. I just thought, all right, my dad goes out every day and he's solving problems for people and he's making sure their money's safe. And I thought, that sounds like a really good person to be. So yeah, I did at that time think of that. And then going into consulting, it was fantastic for somebody who got right out of college who didn't know necessarily at that point how they were going to get from banking. I ended up being a liberal arts major, English and economics major. And I thought, well, how do I turn that into banking? Let me go find myself. And that's where with Accenture, it was interesting because I got to be in different pockets in different industries. So it was like having 9 different jobs over 5 years. It was great.
Well, and it's interesting because with the Be Your Best Self, we did a leadership panel in February. And one of the questions that we asked our panel is, during the past year and a half, or even throughout your career, what did you have to give up? Personal, professional? What do you feel you gave up to get to where you are today? In everyday life, what do you have to give up sometimes? Yeah.
I think it's planning things for yourself. It's always having to be available. I think I always joked that my dad used to always joke, and it's like the same for me. He said, look, you know, we're a corporate family. So, you know, you'd have, depending on what the business needed or his team needed, were you going to make it to that vacation? 9 times out of 10, we didn't, you know, or it would have to be rescheduled or something like that. I think you have to build your personal life around your customers, but I don't see that as a giving up. It's an augment, because when I see how happy they are and they feel like they're taken care of, I don't feel like that's a loss. It's like the company sort of become me too. Again, like we talked about, it's we've become together. So I think giving up probably kind of maybe planning a few things for yourself, but that's it.
And, you know, we were talking too, we have our book club tomorrow night, The Radical Empowerment Movement. And one of the things, and I still have a few pages to go, don't tell Carrie. But one of the things in the book, and we said, it's not rocket science, but it's like a slap in the face to, hello, yes, this is what we need to be doing. And with that, you know, Carrie had talked about her being on all the time when she was in corporate America and vacations. And do you make that separation between your personal and professional life? So when you vacation, do you turn your work life on? And being a business owner, can you do that?
I think you have to a certain extent, because you have to step back. And then, again, using the best self phrase, again, in order to, while doing that, you're ensuring that you're bringing your best self forward when your customer needs it. But no, I can say wherever I've been, I mean, you be in bed at night, I joke, it's like you're laying in bed looking up and it's like Queen's Gambit, where you're like, you're moving the pieces across the ceiling or something. And I think that's when you love something you do. It incorporates into yourself as well. But I try to do a little bit of separation. But like, you know, in our industry, not all businesses are 9 to 5, certainly. And some have very odd hours. And I've had employees that get calls when they're in the shower on a Saturday morning, when they're that's happened when they've mowed the lawn, when they're out at a concert, and they take that call. So I'm grateful that they kind of follow the same excitement and, you know, involvement that I have for the company.
And the other thing we talked about is Carrie's pow-pow shoes.
Yes.
What's your pow-pow? Your superhero. What is that driving force?
What is that driving force? I know.
Oh, I love that. Number two. Number two. And here's the one thing I notice. When it comes to talking about you, you take a deep breath, and then you like formulate your answer, but your business. So that's where that separation comes sometimes. But what is your pow-pow? Not your business.
Right.
Outside of your business. I'll put that challenge on you.
And I guess when you say pow-pow, because it's interesting, as I went through the book, I don't know if it takes on a different, it doesn't, if it takes on a different visualization for other people. I don't know. I'm going to sound like a bit like a broken record, David, but it's like, it's just that getting up there and every day is a new day, and you know, everything is limitless at that point. I'm just excited about that. I don't know what the day is going to be, and I just look forward. It's an energy thing. I think it's just it's looking forward to what's happening and what I can do and what's going to get thrown my way. I don't know what it is. It's a problem solving aspect. I like that. I get a lot of energy, and the people that work at PolyPay get a lot of energy from interacting with customers and being with them, being on site with them and educating them and training them. And it's that. I think we all get sort of that contact high off of the human interaction, because the companies themselves are interesting, but learning about why they built them or how they came to be or how many generations have gone through, that's where I get a contact high off of. It's just that I learned so much from them, and hopefully they learn from us too.
And it's interesting, because I never thought about my pow-pow, and our personalities are very similar. So like, my pow-pow is bringing people together, whether it's personal or professional, and watching them interact.
Yes.
And I thrive off of that. And when I can sit back and say, okay, this is working, I know I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. So in the book, and I'm going to use this because we were talking about it, what's fun to you? What do you think is fun things to do? Because it talks about how growing old, we give up that fun, that, you know, it's working and different things of that sort. So what is your fun?
I love to, and maybe that's just a nod to the liberal arts side of me. I love reading, and I love writing. So that's my outlet. I do a lot, not necessarily journaling, but I do a lot of just writing, it's more kind of taking down my thoughts and whatnot and what I've learned. And it's just sort of, it has to go somewhere, I think. Otherwise, I don't know what I would do. So it's always learning. I love the fact that you should never stop learning. I think maybe some people give that up with business. They sort of, you can see some businesses where they've just sort of reached a certain plateau, and that's where, you know, and it's reflective of the owner or whatever, whether they don't have the time or whatever it is, that just kind of, it just stays on that level. And I don't ever want to have that kind of company or be that kind of person where you're not learning, because you never know who you're going to meet. That's what I didn't know I would meet you. I would learn so much. You've taught me so much about Columbus and the areas and where to go. And, you know, I probably pestered you with too many emails. Like, I can't wait to, you know, can I ask you one more thing? I said, I'm coming back in your inbox again. So I think that's it. It's just learning. I have to keep learning. And I know that should never stop. And that's what keeps me going, too.
And I think you hit it. When you become stagnant, you've stopped. And like, I've been in the nonprofit world almost 30 years. So it's not necessarily totally reinventing, but adjusting with the times. Mm-hmm. You know, how have you adjusted with the times over the past year and a half? Almost 2 years now.
Yeah, and it was, and it, you know, for the company, for Polypay, it was a big thing because what happened when the world kind of stopped turning for a while was businesses had to figure out how to sink or swim. And we were on the forefront of that with people that, look, how do I keep my business open? How do I keep my employees and my customers safe? How do I keep the dollars coming through the front door in a safe manner that is easy to use? So several customers, we had to go and figure out and reinvent, use different tools, you know, do e-commerce things, use mobile payments. I mean, whatever it would work, contactless pickups, contactless payments, whatever it took to kind of keep doors open that way. So we, every customer, a majority of our customers came back to us and said, all right, rules have changed. So what do we need to do? And that's why I'm grateful that, as we always told them, come back to us. Don't do the research by yourself. We let us know that this is our pocket we're good at. Let us come and help you figure out how to get through it. And thankfully, I'm grateful about 98% of our customers made it through the pandemic and whatnot. We had a couple that just couldn't do it. And I certainly understand that. It's what you can do. But they came out of it, I think, with a renewed faith, I hope, for us, and that they can sidestep when something like this comes through their doors.
And that's the thing. And as a business owner, a woman business owner, what advice do you give up to up and coming young women and future business owners?
Sure. I think you have to always look for, again, networking. That's what I'm excited about, being a part of the chamber. I think never knowing who you're going to run into, being open to any kind of opportunity. Don't immediately kind of read something that doesn't. What is it? What is the opportunity cost of your time? But what could it be? What not knowing? So I think putting yourself out there, doing resources, asking any kind of question, as you know, David, stupid or not. I mean, if you think it is or not, I mean, it's, I think that's the thing I've learned is every day there's a different opportunity to learn something, meet someone who knows where that's going to go down the road. And I think I'm an example of that from, I have relationships from more than half a lifetime ago that I still have for a reason that I just went on a lark. I thought, yeah, I'll go to this event or I'll go to this, you know, again, like this, the book club. I'll go to this open event. I'll go, and there's just some free networking event. Let me go down there and talk and hand business cards out and raise your hand a lot, or like I am, get into David's email box a lot and say, what about this? What about that? You know, just, you know, I love this phrase from my father. It says, you don't ask, you don't get. So I think that's what you do. You have to put yourself out there. And I think maybe women, I don't think it's the case anymore for women, but maybe it was years ago. I think there's a lot of fierce women out there that I had no clue existed until I started going out there and I go, whoa, okay, wow. Yeah, I want to be you. It was like the Wonder Woman poster or something that was, and again, that, like we talk about that energy, that there's that contact high off of people like that. And suddenly your mind starts working and you start thinking about things you never thought before. So,
well, and that's, we have a new member that joined last week, and she is a first-time business owner, purchased the business in December, and we connected, and I forget how, no, actually it was through Facebook, the UA discussion group, and UA Nutrition, I met with her, Marissa, we sat and talked, and it's about conversations and thinking outside the box, and zigging and zagging. So, you know, you're right. There are so many powerful, strong women in this chamber and in the Tri-Village area. And I consider you one of those.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. That's another great example I had too, David. The other day I was at a networking event in San Luis Obispo, and a young gal came up to me and we were talking, and I loved it. One of the events, they had just sort of a handful of questions on the table. They're like, just ask these icebreakers. And one of the questions was, well, what are you afraid of? And she said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And I said, well, why? She had been in the eye care industry for about 7 years, and it was a good job. But when the pandemic hit, she couldn't deal with it anymore. And so she was a fantastic photographer. She showed me her pictures and whatnot. She said, so, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, I opened a photography studio. I said, I would consider that a huge success. I think you conquered your fears there by doing that. I mean, who else would start a business in the middle of a pandemic, not knowing it's going to happen? And she kind of, you know, she stood up a couple more inches taller, and she's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. I said, sure, because you're down in the trenches doing it. You don't even realize till you pop your head up, oh, I'm still here. Everything's going well. You know, I'm actually doing something. And that's the fun part. You don't even realize it. And then at the end, you kind of, you've built the track, and you turn around and you go, wow, that's a lot of miles. And I was so happy for her. I was excited for her. And she, I hope, left feeling better, because she thought that she hadn't gotten anywhere. And she had dozens of customers and a studio. And I thought, my goodness, gal, you're doing great.
And I think that's where the seasoned professionals as yourself come in and help with the next generation of business owners. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you about Polypay, how
sure.
do they contact you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we'd love it. It's a conversation that if somebody just doesn't understand their processing solution, if they're doing the right thing, or if they're getting the right rate for something, if they just want somebody who's going to break it down for them, and we'll take as much time as they need, you know, to mm-hmm. educate them. So our website is polypay.com. It's polypay.com. Or you can send us an email at info@polypay.com. Or we love phone calls too, 805-592-2700.
All right. Jamie, thank you. We could go on for hours.
Yeah.
I know we could. So, and if you miss all that, you can always contact me at info@chamberpartnership.org. Jamie, thank you.
Thank you for the time.
I look forward to the future
yes.
with you, part of the Tri-Village Chamber Partnership.
Me too.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yes, thank you.